In an interview with CBS News, House Speaker Johnson said on his first day in office, President Biden came in and issued executive orders that began this chaos. Did any of the administration's policies contribute to the record number of border crossings?
What I can say is this. On his first day in this administration, the president put forth a comprehensive immigration legislation to deal with a broken system. That's what the president did, to deal with a broken system. We were just a couple of weeks away of 3 years ago that legislation that he put forward to Congress to actually deal with an issue, right? And so that's what I can say. The president understands that there's a problem at the border. He put forth on his first day something to deal with that problem. And what we continue to see from Speaker Johnson and Republicans, House Republicans, I know Jackie asked a question about something that I said yesterday in May, and I'll repeat it. I repeat what I said yesterday. In May, House Republicans decided to vote on a bill that would cut 2,000 Border Patrol agents at the border.
You guys wanted literally a slush fund, and you wanted to support only like a fraction of what was required at the border. So you don't get to go back and revise this now. There's no going backsies. Welcome to the program. It is Friday, the first Friday of the new year. It is your most gracious hostess, Dana Loesch, here with you. And you can listen terrestrially all around the country. You can also listen, stream it online, and watch the simulcast, the video component of the radio program, Channel 3047, DirecTV, as well as Facebook and YouTube. And there's always discussion happening on YouTube. Okay, so there's a number of things to jump in here. And I was, you know, I'm going to, because I still can't get over yesterday, the combined sonic assault of Nancy Pelosi and Karine Jean-Pierre telling us that we should just feel hashtag blessed by all the hashtag opportunities that have been offered to us by the Biden administration. Kane, do you just feel the blessings? Just everyone just feel the blessings, right? The blessing of $7 for a pound of butter. I mean, it's just amazing. The hashtag blessed. Really don't feel like that, right? You know, it just doesn't really feel that way. So I'm trying to get over that that crazy, the double sound. And then we have this about the border, because I don't know if y'all been seeing what's going on at the border. I honestly think this should be our number one issue domestically. I mean, just period. I'm talking about this in the United States. I really think this should be our number one issue. And I got to tell you, last night, because I know they had like town halls and stuff last night, I had my first ticked off moment of the new year, Kane. I was PO'd, as one might say, because I had a bunch, I'm just going to come out with it. I had a bunch of neocon BS, and I'm using the phrase correctly. Let me explain really quickly. Let me interrupt myself. When I say the word neocon, I'm talking about the people who love filleting the old dead narrative of Russian imperialism, and it's the 80s 2.0. I'm not saying that Russia's our best friend, and I don't even like pillow-faced McTyrant over there. I really don't. I don't care if he lives or dies. I mean, I would rather communism die a horrible death and everyone who represents it join them in that endeavor. However, I don't think that what's happening in Ukraine is an immediate threat to United States interests. And there's a long history there that predates even Khrushchev and predates giving away Crimea and predates, you know, the expelling of the ethnic Russians in that area. I mean, there's a huge history that most of the people arguing in favor of sending your sons and daughters to war don't know about. So there's several things that I don't do. I love feedback, except when I feel like it comes from people who aren't obsessed with the topic as much as I am. And anyone who wants to sit here and tell us that we need to get involved in more wars, I immediately write them off as irrelevant. So I see all these people, and I'm not talking about just people on social media. I'm talking about like political consultants, operatives, influencers, you know, thought makers, all of this other stuff online last night, arguing because Nikki Haley decided to take a swing at Ron DeSantis over Ukraine. Now I'm sitting here thinking, have y'all seen the border? Have y'all seen what's going on at the border? Kane, what was the record for December? Just the month of December.
More than 290,000.
I feel like Kermit, the puppet, the Muppet, when he's like being, you know. Yeah, 200. plus, 290 plus just for the month of December. And we have these people arguing with us about Ukraine. Now, don't sit here and be like, Dana, you know, we can kill two birds with one stone. You know, Dana, we can do more than one thing at a time. No, not with this. We can't. No, when your southern borders open and you got literal towns of people, you have cities of people coming across in every month. Cities of people. You have no idea about the backstory of these people. You don't. They didn't come in legally. Half of them come in on, I mean, the documentation's not even legit. You have no clue. I love this kitten and sunshine world that these people live in. It's not a big deal. I mean, they're just looking for work. There was a point in Ricky Gervais's newest stand-up routine where he's talking about illegal immigration. And this is a big thing in Britain right now because you're a racist, apparently, if you think that people should come in legally. Right? Just, you know, in an orderly fashion. It's like me going to the Bahamas and just, you know, trying to just enter illegally and then calling them all racist for denying me a legal entry. I mean, it's the same thing. So he's, you know, he was going through this whole thing. I'd play it for you, but we'd get cited because YouTube sucks. But he's going through this whole thing and he's talking about how, you know, he's told, as we all are over and over again, well, you know, people are coming in, they're seeking a better way of life. They're seeking all of this stuff. And, you know, it's women and children. And he's like, you know, and then we have dinghies that pull up and it's just, you know, oh, it's just you lads, all dudes. It's cities of sausage fests that come across the border every single month. Oh, just you lads then, is it? Well, come on. That's exactly it. So, no, when you have that number, that amount coming across the border every month, no, you can't kill two birds with one stone. I don't give a rat's backside. I don't care. That's the number one issue right now. That is the number one issue. So I got a little verklempt when I saw Nikki Haley going immediately starting in on Ukraine. I'm like, lady, have you seen the border? Have you seen what's happening down there? Did you see the number? You didn't. Let me pull this up. Kane, I feel like we're missing a business opportunity here. Let me pull this story up. I should have had it at the handy. I didn't have it coming up till next hour. Do you know how much the cartels are making at the border?
I know it's a lot. I don't know what the number is though.
Oh my gosh. So you know, trafficking people, that's the big business now. Cartels are making $32 million a week.
What?
Washington Times. Oh, yeah. The smuggling cartels are making $32 million a week for bringing in illegal immigrants. And this is just one 245-mile stretch of the border. This is data from Border Patrol. This isn't, you know, Republicans sitting here trying to make stuff up. This is Border Patrol data. Border Patrol, let me tell you something about Border Patrol. God love them. They don't give a rat's backside who's in office either. You know who becomes their best friend? Person who shuts the border. Person who allows them to do their job. Helps them to actually help do their job of protecting American citizens and protecting the border. That's who they like. They don't get into all the politics. They're right there. They're literally the tip of the spear. They don't got time for all this other fluff. Just shut the damn border. $32 million a week. That's just for one 245-mile stretch of the border. So, Kane, what are we doing here?
Right.
I mean, I'm feeling like there's a business opportunity.
How is this not a message of crime pays?
Yeah, crime does pay. I mean, hell, I got guns. I got all kinds of stuff. Like, what, you know? Good heavens. And you're white adjacent, so...
I'm confused as to which half is offended.
Yeah, I know. It's like probably like inner turmoil 24/7. You know, sure. Pray for you. Hashtag blessed. But that's pretty crazy. Border Patrol's actually put figures out like this before. And the left just is like, what? I don't see anything here. I don't see anything. I don't see nothing. $32 million a week. Do you know what I could do with $32 million a week? I could literally ruin all my enemies. $32 a week, I would engage in lawfare and I would have so many motions and processes that my enemies would go bankrupt just trying to afford the legal bill just to even make it to discovery. You know, and yes, charities and all that stuff. Wait a minute, I'm forgetting myself. Charities and church and blah, blah, blah. But yes, I feel like Steve Martin and SNL and all the little children of the world joining hands and singing. All that stuff. But you know how many lives of bad people I could ruin, Kane? It'd be amazing. Like Media Matters would have nothing on me. I would ruin so many lives and just gleefully so.
And you said that's a week?
A week, dude. And that's just one 245-mile stretch of the border. So, that means there's a lot of other stretches of the border that...
It's like 100, more than 100 million a month.
I've got the brains, you've got the looks. Let's make lots of money. I'm just saying, right? It sounds like that sounds like an opportunity. We're really, we need to think of, we can't really incorporate it. I don't know what we would call our venture. You just get a bus down there and, you know, fare. And again, you're white adjacent.
Right.
Everyone thinks that I'm whatever they want because my background's so muddled. So it just, it'll work. It'll work. We'll pull it off.
I have faith.
Capitalism. Wait. No, but I'm telling you, that's just one stretch of the border. They're making so much money. So I'm watching all this stuff last night. And I see, oh man, and there's just times I really try to have a lot of grace. I really do. And not a lot bothers me. But sometimes I'm just, you know, mom's going to pull the car over. And I'm going to reach back in the back seat. And I'm going to whip you to death with my flip-flop. I'm going to just take it off, drive the car, take off my flip-flop, and whip you while I'm driving. I mean, it's that, you know, it's like the end of the day. You got a lot of stuff going on. And I'm watching this stuff. And I've seen all of this play out. And so she tweeted, and we're going to talk more about this. She goes, quote, Ron thinks supporting Ukraine is not a vital U.S. national security interest. He couldn't be more wrong. A win for Russia is a win for China. And I just retweeted it and I go, because it isn't. Oh, my gosh. All of the, and I'm correctly using the term, neocons came out and immediately were just, what? Crazy. So we're going to talk more about this. We're also going to get into some of the latest with the jobs figures. That owl is still in my attic. So just to let you guys know, I have been vetoed because my husband says he has two votes in this household. I'm not allowed to touch his power tools because I drilled through a wall once. I don't know. Honest mistake. And I was like, well, let's build a little owl door because owls, I mean, he's a sizable little screech owl, right? And that he can't like scooch himself down. And he, I mean, it's just, apparently we got a hole in the attic. And my husband's like, you know, possums can use doors too, Dana. Can they though? I don't know. Like, do I build an owl house? How do I do that? Do I need to go get some carpentry items, you know, and do as Jesus would have done? I'm going to build this owl a house. I don't know. I mean, he's up there sitting on our opposable dummy box. That's like apparently his favorite place to roost. Because everyone has a posable dummy that they just randomly leave around the house to scare their friends and family. So, I don't know. I mean, we did name him. We do have a name for him. So, I've got to give you updates about that because next to the border, that's, you know, one of the most important issues.
The virtue signaling has come to roost. As the U.S. reaches its highest level of illegal border crossings ever recorded, are leftist mayors still calling their city sanctuary cities? Now that the problem is visible, these cities are on the brink of collapse. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, guess what? And I don't want to make you feel I do. All of you people out there who are like, I'm just going to have some oat milk. It's so much healthier, my oat milk. Guess what? It's not. Nutritionists are warning against the trendy oat milk. One cup, they said, check this out. One cup can literally have more sugar than two Krispy Kreme donuts. Dude. They're like, it's packed with sugar, carbs, and oil. Yeah, sure. I mean, just either drink milk or don't. Don't be like, I'm going to have like this milk substitute. Because it's usually worse and it works to the opposite effect of what you're trying to intend. So they're saying, look, it contains more fat and sugar than actual regular milk. And you don't even get the calcium that helps your bones. You don't even get that. So just either drink regular milk. If you're lactose intolerant, I'm feeling for you. But at least you have an excuse. Everyone else is posing. Come on, let's be real. Come on. A mob of 100 looters smashes through a Compton bakery. And, I mean, now AOC can literally say they're looking for bread. And trashes the store after a street takeover. A bakery. An illegal street takeover. It was at 3 a.m. They went to Ruben's Bakery and Mexican Food. They got into the store. A white Kia backed into the front doors, so that's how the crowd was able to get in and just, like, pillage their way through. They picked it clean. They picked it clean and ran out with everything that... I mean, that guy's life is ruined. It was like a convenience store and bakery, and they took everything this dude had. Everything. They picked it clean. But hey, you know, I mean, it's just... restorative justice and stuff, right? That's just unbelievable. Stocks bad start to 24 has forecasters on edge. When are they not on edge, though? They are the most tweaked people I've ever seen in my life. They're saying the S&P 500 dropped January. Average returns for the rest of the year shrink. They're off to a bumpy start, and proponents of the January barometer are hoping for a turnaround because they think, according to Wall Street Journal, that the market's performance in the first month of the year sets the tone for the rest. Boom, boom, boom. Revolutionary nano drones. Now, I've read about these before. They're targeting and eliminating cancer cells. So in South Korea, researchers have been looking at this cutting-edge method to treat cancer using these little nano drones. And they specifically target and destroy the bad cells. It's kind of interesting. Science. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Our partners, our friends over at Caltech, the P15. This should be part of your EDC. If you're unfamiliar with the P15, it is the lightest, slimmest, double-stack concealed carry 9mm on the market. 14 ounces unloaded. Holds standard capacity of 15 plus one rounds. It's 15 one-chambered. Tritamin fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic rear, and striker fire reliability and nice trigger. So there's two different versions. You have the polymer and the metal version. The metal version has a really vintage look and feel. It has these gorgeous classic wood grips. Very comfortable, same great modern sight, same great trigger, great capacity, same capacity. And the polymer version has gator grip texture. I mean, they're both awesome handguns. They're both gorgeous. Get both of them. I mean, why not? It's America. For public safety and self-defense, P15 should definitely be one of your concealed carry go-tos. Lightest, thinnest. And it's I like that particularly because, you know, ladies carry a little bit differently than dudes. Learn more at KeltecWeapons.com. That's KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
What it means is bringing it to a situation where Russia's in a box and you're not having wars break out to Europe. That is our interest in this, to not have larger conflicts. And I think part of the problem with some of the people who always want to get us in deeper in these conflicts is you run the risk of an escalation. I can tell you this, as President of the United States, American service members can take this to the bank. Parents of service members, we are not going to send U.S. troops to fight in Ukraine.
But what about U.S.
That's
weapons?
That's awesome. And we shouldn't, because we don't have any interests that need to be protected over there. Welcome back to the program, bottom of this first hour. Who, boy? So I was telling Kane, I had every, you know, turd on social media, like, bop, 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 at me in the, because I had retweeted Nikki Haley and I had added a little comment, and I'm not anti-war. I'm anti-stupid war. I'm anti-thinking that you have no other option and then just going full Lindsey Graham all the time. Well, I guess we'll have the wars. I just don't think that Lindsey Graham represents the entirety of the thinking of the Republican Party. So I was looking at this. I retweeted her last night because let me pull this back up. She says, quote, Ron thinks that supporting Ukraine is not a vital U.S. national security interest. He couldn't be more wrong. A win for Russia is a win for China. Hoo boy. So I retweeted and I said, because it isn't. I mean, it isn't a vital national security interest for us. It's really not. I mean, it's this idea that there is this Russian imperialism move is, I don't want to be unkind, but it's dumb. And I've had Haley on the show and she said, well, Russia's concerned, you know, with NATO on its doorstep now, et cetera. We've got it. Well, NATO's been on its doorstep. I mean, hi, the Baltic states, they've been on, people not know geography. You don't have to be from the area to know that there are countries called Estonia and Latvia. You know how I know Estonia, by the way? What was that movie with Pauly Shore and Brendan Fraser? Encino Man. Because remember the lie they made up about him? He was from Estonia. He was an exchange student from Estonia. Right. I was legit in junior high and I learned all about Estonia because of that movie. I am hands to sky. That's back when movies were good, dude. Also, Gen Z, you have nothing on the lingo of Gen X. Watch Encino Man. So, long story short, the Baltic states have been on literally, NATO countries have been on Russia's doorstep. And I had somebody who was trying to tell me, oh, the Russian ruble's so strong right now. It's not really. It's not. Here's what needs to just a quick, I'm not going to sit here and dive into the economics of Russia, but just to make it super easy. So back when, and this was, I guess, probably right when the United States decided to be stupid with domestic energy production, because we became a huge net exporter. Remember, we were outpacing the Middle East and the Saudis with us. And this was a huge issue. You had a lot of countries like Germany. Germany was very, very dependent upon cheap, dirty Russian gas. You know, we talked about the Nord Stream pipeline, or the Nordstrom pipeline, if you're KJP. Literal thing she said. Sure. But Gazprom, all these other companies, you know, they wanted to really use energy as a way to help control Europe. And Ukraine had always had the protection, being that it was an energy adjacent country to Russia, because they had one of the first pipelines that went through Ukraine. And so they always had that protection of being part of Russia's energy infrastructure. And then that was one of the other big reasons why Russia wanted to get this other pipeline and kind of bypass all that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Long story short, when the United States was making some changes with domestic energy production, all of these other countries, we talked about this endlessly on the program. We also talked about it with Stephen Yates. We need our European and NATO allies to be able to rely on our energy. They were paying for it. We were making bank on it. I don't know why there was this, and it does no damage to the environment for us to continue being net exporters. But you have Democrats who apparently wanted to reduce our security and standing in the world. So they made this decision through the Biden administration. And there for a bit, you have Russia's ruble had a little bump because it was temporary. It was something that everybody acknowledged was temporary. It was temporary. And especially with sanctions on Iran, etc., it was temporary. Just towards the end of the year, they hit a 17-month low against the dollar. The ruble did. Because of sanctions and a slump in export revenues. Very carefully, and we've talked about other countries providing energy, very, very slowly and very carefully, other European nations have been shifting away from the reliance on dirty Russian gas and looking elsewhere. And that's all a part of It's geopolitics and energy, but it's also a part of security, because you don't want to enrich a decaying geopolitical foe. And yes, decaying is the proper attribute for them. They are not this big imperialist power. Hell, they couldn't even take Kyiv. They couldn't even take it. So they're not. There's no way in the world they'd go toe to toe with NATO. They don't have the economy. They don't even have the manpower. And their currency has lost over 40% of its value just this year alone, or last year, 2023. And that's, so all of that was temporary. Their finances are under strain. So this idea that they're this big imperialistic force is outdated and dumb. It simply is. If they were going to they would have made a move a long time ago. This excuse that, well, it's, you know, they're on their doors. Baltic states have been on their doorstep. This is dumb. Inclusion of Finland, et cetera. They've always had weird relations, Norway and Finland, and there's always been tensions, et cetera, et cetera. Go back to World War II. I think that there are certain people who just parrot some of the stuff they hear Haley and these other neocons say, and that's just completely out of step with history. And I'm not trying to be unkind, but I don't have the time to sit here and tickle your jimmies for fear of hurting people's feelings. I just don't have the patience for it. It's not a lack of courtesy, it's a lack of patience. So I had a lot of people who were very, very upset with me in the comments about that last night. Oh, my gosh. Now, you could make a better argument to me about concern for China than you could Russia. Russia's on the way down. China's on the way up. Although their economy is in fits and tangles right now. But it's still, they are on an ascension as opposed to decaying like Russia. I mean, goodness, they're having palace intrigue right now. You have to have all these. Putin doesn't even, he has to be very, very careful and take all the, because he doesn't even have a total lock on power anymore. It's not like it was 20 years ago. So I'm not going to get into the history of the area either, because that goes back to, that goes back to the 18th century and before then. before Stalin was even expelling people so that he could say that this area was predominantly ethnic Russians, etc. I mean, there's the famine and everything else. Yet there's a long history there. It's not going to be solved by a debate on social media. And it's not going to be solved, honestly, by the inclusion of the United States in a foreign conflict that doesn't serve our interests. Bottom line. It's not callous. What's callous is to expect everyone else to have kids to clean up the world's mess. That our sons and daughters and our husbands and wives and our parents should be the ones to have to lay down their line because of what, based on ongoing tensions and fighting from decisions that communists made, you know, years prior. And it's just always the cheap and easy. It's always War Inc.'s first response. Oh my gosh, let's bomb it. Let's send this over. That's not good foreign policy. That's just warmongering. And I agree with DeSantis and others who say that this is not an issue that the United States should be involved in. Now, if you want to help allies and you want to send supplies, that's one thing. But beyond that, no. This isn't like a proxy war. It's not Vietnam 2.0. It's not any of that. This is land dispute between these entities. And there is a history there that a lot of people, I wouldn't expect people to understand or know. And I don't think it's fair for politicians to sidestep that and act as though that's not a big factor in what is driving the fighting. China's the concern. Good grief, is China the concern. And they're aggressive. Whether it's stealing intel, whether it's trying to disrupt shipping. And when you are talking about the export of goods and services, that becomes an issue. And because we stupidly allowed them to have a monopoly on antibiotics. We stupidly have allowed them to have a monopoly on rare earth elements while trying to accelerate this country's dependence on electric vehicles, etc., without having the necessary infrastructure or even the materials required to build the infrastructure to make it a reality. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. But that's the decision that Democrats have been making. And above all of this, we have the issue at the border. I was just telling you that cartels are making, what is it, $32 million a week? That's just from a 245-mile stretch of the southern border with bringing illegal immigrants across. That's a huge issue. We have H.R. 2, which is stuck in Congress. Everyone's debating it. And I don't know if we're actually going to get some satisfaction on that. You have 290,000 plus people that illegally cross into this country for the month of December alone. So this is the big issue. And I think that takes over everything else, any other consideration with regard to Ukraine. Now, this is plain. I mean, this is one of the big issues in 2024 as well. I also don't think, I get it that Nikki Haley was an ambassador to the United Nations. And you got to go up and you went up and you sat in a Victorian freak show, a masquerade where all of the tyrants of the world are allowed to participate and they are entertained. And we run through this formality of diplomacy and nothing is accomplished from it. Can anyone give me concrete accomplishments of the United Nations? What conflicts have they prevented? What issue have they not made worse by their involvement? I mean, you have human rights councils in which the Chinese sit on. It's theater. It's performative diplomacy without any substance. That's all it is. It's so stupid. I don't consider that as making substantive major foreign policy experience. You are a part of a theater troupe. Now, this We're going to get into some of the other stuff with 2024 coming up. We got Iowa is, what, 10 days away now?
Yep.
10 days away. It's going to be very interesting. And I don't know. I just am telling you to not trust a lot of the polling out there because you couldn't trust it. You surely couldn't trust it in 22, and you definitely couldn't trust it in 2020, and you definitely couldn't trust it in 2018. Be very careful with all this stuff. Some of the other stuff that we're going to hit coming up, the latest with job, you know, Janet Yellen says that we're going to have a soft, nice, soft landing. So everything's great. Forget about how much are eggs now? Golly, I don't even want to talk about it. I'm going to get mad.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
But besides satire, Whoopi, I mean, look at what's happening with these anti-vax people. You know, I said this the other day. I have been boosted and boosted and boosted, so I got it COVID. Mm-hmm. It does not prevent you from getting COVID, but you don't die from it.
Right.
And yet you have people like this Robert Kennedy Jr. who's going out there and attacking Fauci and saying that it's a bad thing to get the
booster. He's not saying it's satire. He's actually believing it.
Well, I know, but this is fake news. And that's another thing. Fake news, alternative facts. All of that started recently.
And to that point, people need to check their sources. I mean, we
only listen to what we say. I'm telling you, we tell the truth.
What year is this? It's 2024 now. Are they still acting like this thing is a legit thing?
Yes. Yes, they are.
You know, you can just, I hate it when people characterize disagreement as attack. That is so weak. I cannot stand it when I see people do that. Disagreement. You're not attacked because someone disagreed with you. Oh my gosh. These broads. Oh my, he's out there attacking him because he's disagreeing with his non-science. It's just so, it's so bad. Stop. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lashier with you. Yeah, I gladly don't watch that show. Gladly don't watch it. Yes, I know. I guest hosted it, but I didn't. I didn't even watch then. I mean, I was on, but I didn't. Jenny McCarthy was the nicest person. She was super sweet, super nice. Barbara Walters hated my guts. It was like, and she wanted it known that she did not like me. It was very, I'm always entertained by that. If someone doesn't like me and they want me to know, I just pretend to not know more because it infuriates them. Oh my gosh. So, all right. So some other things that we're touching on today, because it is, first off, you know, can you imagine the egoism of this guy? Hunter Biden has hired, well, he's got, apparently it's being taken care of by one of his rich friends, but he's having a documentary made about himself. So they have cameras following him. They're making would you watch a Hunter Biden documentary? They'd have to give out cocaine just to make people mildly interested in it. But it's the guy who was in the sugar. Oh my gosh, Juan. Juan goes, is he naked? Stop it. I don't know. I actually don't know. One of the sugar bros, Kevin Morris, he's a Hollywood lawyer who paid off Hunter's debts. So he's the guy who apparently is who's facilitating it. They're trying to rehabilitate his reputation. Why? Why are you trying to read? It just looks so tone deaf. So we're gonna get into that. We got the latest on jobs numbers and how the administration's trying to spin it, and a lot more. Stick with us. Second hour of the Dana Show, just moments away.
New York City has and will continue to do our part to manage this humanitarian crisis, but we cannot bear the cost of reckless political ploys from the state of Texas alone. Today, our administration filed a lawsuit against 17 companies that have taken part in Texas Governor Greg Abbott's scheme to transport tens of thousands of migrants to New York City in an attempt to overwhelm our social services system. These companies have violated state law by not paying the cost of caring for these migrants, and that's why we are suing to recoup approximately $700 million already spent to care for migrants bused here in the last 2 years by the state of Texas. Governor Abbott's continuing use of migrants as political pawns is not only chaotic and inhumane, but makes clear he puts politics over people. Today's lawsuit should serve as a warning to all those who break the law in this way.
See, political pawns, using illegal immigrants as political pawns, is only acceptable when elected leaders of sanctuary cities get to say that they're sanctuary cities. But don't bring none of them people here. Don't you bring that on me. Then it's okay. Welcome back to the show. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash here with you. That was New York City Mayor Eric Adams, who's suing to recoup the cost. Kane?
Yeah?
Can we sue, too, to recoup costs?
Texas, Arizona, New Mexico. Yeah, we all should sue.
Yeah. Because I think that we've paid a heck of a lot more. I mean, I'm just kind of looking every year, annually. It's $13.4 billion a year, according to the Federation for American Immigration Reform. That's just Texas. That's just how much Texas taxpayers pay. $13.4 billion a year. Can we sue Eric Adams and all the Sanctuary City people to recoup our costs? I feel like we should.
We'd be suing the federal government, I think.
And we can maybe send invoices? Yeah. I feel like I want to send an invoice. $13.4 billion, please. Pay up, sucker. Welcome back to the show. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash with you. Listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. Watch the video component of the radio program. Channel 347. DirecTV. YouTube. Facebook as well. Yeah, I that lawsuit. And he's going to try. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. His goal is to try to do this, remain in Texas. He wants to force a remain in Texas kind of thing. So he's suing these bus companies to stop the transport of illegal immigrants from Texas up to New York. Remember what he tweeted? Like, didn't he say, like, we should protect immigrants? Yes, they're going to remain a sanctuary city under an Adams administration. Didn't he tweet that when he was running for mayor?
Yeah.
What? Wait. Kane, what is a sanctuary city?
It's where you can go and seek asylum.
If you're here illegally?
Yeah, even if you're here illegally. Matter of fact, specifically they've said in California and other places, sanctuary cities are specifically looking for those who are here illegally.
So I'm confused, because if they're a sanctuary city, that's what a sanctuary city does, is provide the sanctuary.
Yep.
So they're, but he doesn't want to do that. You know where they should send some to Delaware, to the Biden family vacation home. Send them over there to that area. Yeah. Honestly. I mean, he literally, let me pull this up. I had this. This is back. This is a week ago. So he was actually previously, he was kind of tooting his own horn, saying New York City, oh yeah, we can support illegal immigration. We can totally do that. This was not long ago. He was bragging about this. So the requests are coming to go to New York City are actually coming from the people who are coming in illegally themselves, because they hear, oh, it's a sanctuary city. They want us to come there. They want us to go there. So 17 companies, the way he says it, Abbott's scheme. What about your scheme, dude? You're scheming right now. You're claiming to be sanctuary, and you're expecting all of these other areas to pay for it. The lawsuit is saying that the companies violated New York state law because they're not paying for the cost of caring for these people. $708 million. We should, you just deduct that from the $13.4 billion that we pay annually.
Yeah.
Down here in Texas. I mean, we're not even talking about New Mexico or Arizona. We're not even talking about any of those people, California, none of those states. None of those. The audacity of claiming that other people are using illegal immigrants as pawns when you've used them as pawns to try to get votes is heinous and laughable. I think they need to keep sending them. Wasn't he sending them to New Jersey and then right by the bus that goes right into New York City? I think that's what he was doing to try to find the loophole. Good heavens. Destabilizing the cities That's one of the things that he had mentioned. He said, oh, it's Abbott's fiasco of trying to destabilize the cities. What are you trying to do to these border communities? You're trying to destabilize the entire southern sections of border states. Have any of these people been down to the Rio Grande Valley? Have they been to McAllen? Have they been to Del Rio? Have they been to some of these places where you have so many people, 290,000 in just the month of December, according to Border Patrol, cartels making $32 million a week just in one 245-mile stretch of the southern border? And the exploitation of the people coming across illegally, the very few women that do come across, there's another reason. Women, it's mostly dudes. It's mostly dudes because it's not about seeking asylum. They're not refugees. It's mostly dudes, and few women do it because the cartels exploit them and kids to such an egregious extent. So Abbott's like, you know, we're going to keep doing this until Biden reverses course. I think Biden may actually blink on this. There is no other way to... There's you can't have this many people coming across the southern border and have it be sustainable. There's no way to make that work. It doesn't work in any, it would not work in any other country. It wouldn't work in any, it just doesn't work. So I think they need to just keep sending them until there is, they change the course here. Make them own it. Make them own it. But to call it a scheme, the oh, you had to pay that many. Well, we're past $13.4 billion then. Because we pay the cost incurred, and this is also according to Border Patrol, Federation for American Immigration Reform, a couple of others, including DOJ sources. The figures also include K-12 education, medical care, housing, nutrition assistance. Some also, Texas is forced to provide in-state tuition, public colleges and universities. This is insane. Our veterans can't get help here. But yet, this is what's happening to people who enter the country illegally. I have some folks I know that we're becoming friends with, and they're actually from Southeast Asia. And the husband is in the Air Force serving. They love America. Oh, my gosh, they love America. They want to be Americans. They want to be American citizens. And the husband is serving in Air Force. And everything that they've had to go through just to get to this point, this has been 8 years now. And then I read about people who are crossing the southern border and then they get all of these benefits and then they get to take advantage of in-state tuition. They get to take advantage of things that taxpayers pay for that they don't have to pay into. And then we just have to absorb all of this so that Eric Adams can sit thousands of miles away and proclaim New York City as a sanctuary city. Where are the members of the press? Do you remember when Jim Acosta got teary-eyed when he was talking about the Statue of Liberty and illegal immigration? Now he doesn't even mention. Now, where are all those people at? Suddenly, when you're met with the consequence of your own policy decisions, you want to ignore it and think it goes away? I mean, that's what's truly callous. This is the conclusion of what their policies sought. And they, now that they're here, now that they've got what they wanted, they don't like it? That's what's truly callous. You got all these people up here. Now you better deal with it. You better deal with it. There's no other way around it. So he's suing. We're going to talk to Governor Greg Abbott coming up next hour because, you know, before he was governor, he was AG too. So I think he knows a little bit of something about this. And I'm curious as to how he thinks. I just can't imagine that the bus companies would be found liable for any of this because they're providing a service. They didn't create this policy. They didn't create any, they didn't create the conditions. They simply responded to customer service. That's it. They didn't create any of these conditions. That was Eric Adams. That was Joe Biden. Do you see how asinine and futile this is? They're going to create a condition of chaos, and then they're going to try to punish people who try to alleviate it. They want you to suffer. They want, I mean, how else are you, what else are you supposed to expect? This is a way to destabilize border states, which have been voting predominantly red. This is a way to try to destabilize voter states or border states and red districts in those border states. You're making Democrats, turning them into Republicans is what they're doing. Speaking of aliens, the only ones that I thought this is very interesting that this all happened yesterday. Kane was the one who brought this to my attention. What the hell, Kane, what the hell happened in Miami at the Miami Mall yesterday?
It was Wednesday night, I think.
Wednesday night. But it's all now. It's still trending.
Yeah, there was a huge police response to what they reported as being a group of kids fighting with sticks and fireworks. And because there were like 100-plus cop cars in that huge response, people were assuming, because there were some social media accounts out there that were stating that they claimed they saw 8 to 10 foot creatures.
Black shadow monsters.
Black shadow monsters and just creatures with disproportionate Nephilim. Lengths in their arms and legs.
That actually trended.
Yeah. And so obviously I got my tinfoil hat on and went down the rabbit hole.
But everybody's got a phone, right?
Exactly.
And you're telling me the only video of claimed occurrence is the aerial footage that shows absolutely nothing?
Yeah, somebody from like their 15th floor of a building.
And that, other than that, all these people that have cell phones, because we know everybody uploads stuff to WorldStar, that nobody got video of the supposed shadow monster?
Yep.
Yeah,
we're supposed to believe.
I don't buy it.
I don't.
Either. Yeah, you got to show me them aliens.
And I'm inclined to, you know, believe it. Just give me a little something.
No, I'm not inclined to believe unless I see it.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You got to give me a little something.
You got to have the alien like walk right up to me and be like, "Here I am. What's good?" That's what I need.
I might need slightly less than
I
that.
I dropped a meme for you that's completely germane to this entire discussion, by the way, in Slack. I dropped it for you in Slack. I legit have to have an alien come up and go, "What's good, girl? What's good?"
That's accurate.
Before I believe it, before I see it. I need to be able to slap it and pinch its cheeks before I'm going to believe it.
I might need slightly less proof.
No, because anybody can be anything nowadays. You don't know. If you see the body modifications, anybody can be anything.
And just I also same. Pay attention to government psyops, too.
Oh, I know you do.
Yep.
Yeah, I know you do. A little too much.
This could be in that realm, too. You never know.
I mean, I'm more inclined to believe that it's a Bigfoot gone wild.
I mean, it drops right when the client...
And I love the image. They're like, "Here's the image of it." And it's just a blurry thing. I can't even tell what it is. No, it's two so
people,
stupid.
It's two people walking, and it looks like one because of their
We
position.
Are not cool enough to have something like that happen to us. You know what I'm saying? Like, shadow monsters don't even want to have anything to do with us. We get our feelings hurt over damn pancake syrup. Nobody wants to come down here and do that. There is not going to be a more terrifying, powerful being that's going to come down here and go, "Hey, let's hang." No, because we look moronic. We are a stupid species. We are so dumb. We are really dumb. And I don't believe in any of it. I sure as hell wouldn't. If I was a shadow monster, I'd be like, "I don't want none of that. That might be catching. These people are crazy."
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the FDA has granted Florida permission to be the first state to import less expensive drugs from Canada. Florida estimates that it could save up to $150 million on medications in the first year. Manufacturers and lobbying groups, of course, are expected to sue to block its efforts. But they said, nope, Florida can be the first state to import less expensive medicine. And people in the U.S. can make direct purchases from Canada. This is going to mean that this is the first state that can purchase less expensive drugs in bulk from Canadian wholesalers. So that's the big difference there. So that's all. I love more choices. So apparently, I love this headline. Kane found this, and you can tell because everything that he puts on it is just loaded with sarcasm. The headline is, "Polar bears hold secret to surviving frigid winters." Their fur? For real? Like, are we all gonna just, ladies, don't shave. No shave January. Sorry, guys. They said that polar bears hold a secret to surviving frigid winters and we can benefit. They said that textiles that mimic polar bear fur may be better at keeping us warm than down jackets. This is so stupid. That somebody actually wrote a piece on this. Are you serious? If I was running, the website is MSN.
So fur is warm? Is that what
you're
saying?
Telling me that fur is actually warm? Is that what you're saying? This is crazy. So ground carp, a.k.a. deer, whitetail. Car strikes deer, sending it flying into another car and leaving one dead. This is in Maryland. Maryland State Police arrived on the scene. They found a Nissan Altima, a 50-year-old woman had been traveling. A deer ran into her path, was struck, and then the deer went airborne and hit a Toyota Tundra traveling the opposite direction. That was a 63-year-old driver. The deer then exited out of the rear window of the Toyota. So just to let you know, the deer was hit, went into the air, hit another vehicle, went through the windshield, and then like ambled out and ran off. That's one of the craziest things I've ever heard. Golly, be careful out there. We got a lot more in store. Immigration, the economy, foreign policy. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't see all the revisions yet specifically, but the two-month revision in a combined form is minus 71,000. Traders find these revisions very disheartening.
Yeah, so of course it's disheartening because they have to revise it down. So they always, that's the thing, they think that you're stupid and that you don't understand that. But it sucks. There's no jobs being created. And the people that work, by the way, parcel delivery people, I love most of them, but you got a lot of them out there that are lazy, redacted, redactors. Gotta tell you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But this job situation is, I mean, it's a lie. There, I mean, this plus the idea that you're everything is so affordable and you're just saving so much money. It's a lie. Welcome back to the program. I said that because we always have, sidebar, we always have like great delivery drivers and I always like have snacks and everything up. But we got like one driver who won't get fired. We've got him on video, like throwing packages over, throwing all, leaving stuff in the road. Literally, like it's crazy. Just do your job. So simple. And they're like, oh, our bad. Like you left it in the road and it got run over by a truck. Literally a package. Like you just like throw it on the road and it gets run over by a truck. Like you don't even, no joke. I'm like, why can't you just like put it on the thing? Porch is right there. So I'm a little upset. Anyway, as you would be too, right? Because then it's a whole fight. I'm telling you. But hey, you know what? We've got all the jobs and everything's affordable, Kane.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. You were telling me about this because you're particularly upset about the snow job that they're trying to do here.
Yeah, because they do this every single jobs report. They come out, the news comes out on a Friday, right? And you get all this news. It's like, look at all the 200-something thousand jobs created, right? Or 190,000 jobs created. And then just a few weeks later, they're like, hey, we got a little revision here. It was actually negative, the number. So, all right, thanks. And that's what they do. So they shout the lie number as though that it's great, and then they whisper to you when they're revising it.
And they know
it's
going to be revised down.
Yeah,
it always
absolutely.
Is. They
happens
know that these,
all the time.
Yeah, they know that this is going to be revised. But they just want you to be distracted by the initial count, which is never, you know. And then, oh, by the way, as you were saying, it's not really that. You didn't really get that much. It's not really that good. Not really that good. I mean, I don't think that this is not a good thing, especially as he's going into, because tomorrow is, oh boy, Kane, what's tomorrow?
Saturday.
Yeah, but the number. It's a big day to the left.
That's right. The J6 anniversary. I forgot about that.
Or whatever it is. And Biden, I mentioned this. I sent this out to you. If you get my emailed newsletter, you will have this out because we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but more details are coming out. So he's trying to make he's basically kicking off his campaign in earnest tomorrow. And he's going to Charlottesville and he's doing two speeches this week and he's focusing on the riot on the 6th, which they say is an insurrection. But if you copy and paste other people's work unattributed, that's not plagiarism. They've got it crafted to where he's going to try to he's going to frame his campaign relaunch around whether it's, you know, he's going to be in Valley Forge talking about fighting the British and then he's going to be in Charlottesville. He's going to try to use and say and act like he's like Washington and Washington's army is basically what it is. And these people are all the bad people. You are all the bad people. And in Charlottesville, he's going to, and they're also, he's apparently also going to, isn't he making a visit to the church in which that, I'm not going to mention the murderer's name, that one dude, went and shot up a church, and he was allowed to purchase his firearm because they messed up, and the FBI literally had to write a letter that's still available online saying that it was a paperwork error. That's what it was, and that allowed him to purchase his firearm, and he was kind of a known entity already. Yeah, I know. But hey, it's like Republicans' fault or something. I don't know. So his campaign, if you thought you were already tired of the campaign season, just wait until Biden kicks off, because it's going to be doom and gloom. Everyone's going to die. And you're not black unless you vote for him. That's what it's going to be, pretty much. I think we covered all of that, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's going
to
be.
I mean, he's dedicating the entire kickoff to his campaign to all these tragic places.
Yeah.
There's a narrative afoot.
So they said he's going, this is how they have it. Let me pull this up. This is what they were sending out to the media. So they're so appalled by Trump's role in January 6th. That's literally how they're starting this. So they're keeping that, trying to keep that alive. And then they're going to say he's putting the deadly assault on the Capitol. Yeah, it was a Capitol police officer that shot and killed an unarmed woman that had an entire SWAT team behind her. And it was all on video, but okay. He's going to focus on that. He's going to talk about Charlottesville, and then he's doing a speech today at Valley Forge, and he's talking about the 2020 election and et cetera, et cetera. And these campaign officials say the venue is apt because it's where George Washington's army endured a frigid winter in 1777 and 78. He's going to offer a contrast with Trump. He really wants Trump to be the nominee. Really does. So that's how he's. Are you guys, from what I just shared with you, does it give you any insight on how to handle inflation? His plans for dealing with that? Is it giving you any insight on his plans for dealing with energy costs? Jobs? No. Because that's all they have to offer. That's literally all they have to offer. They have nothing else. Golly, we got all. And then his son has the documentary cameras following him everywhere. You can't make this stuff up. Yeah, is it gonna solve the problem at the border? Nope. But that's the goal, though. That's the goal. They don't care about any of it. Speaking of deadly movements. Transtifa struck again. The Perry High School in Iowa, it was so horrific, took place yesterday, that tragedy. And the murderer, whose name I'm not going to say, was identified. And his background, definitely, well, there's a reason why you're not hearing a lot about it, because he was another militant trans activist. It was all over social media. He apparently made threats about it on social media and talked about trans issues and identified himself as such. And he was on TikTok posting videos about it. He killed a sixth grader. How many more school kids have to die before the left decides to maybe stop trying to militarize their Transtifa people? Five other people injured. 17 years old. So he had a shotgun and a handgun. It was a pump action shotgun and a handgun. Now, this is why you're not hearing anything about this in the news anymore, because every single narrative that the left loves to run with was destroyed. There was no quote unquote assault rifle. It was a 17-year-old trans activist. And he actually took video of himself in the school bathroom saying, "Now we wait." And the media was, some of the articles were saying, "Oh, he had been bullied and all of this stuff." I mean, honestly, it sounds like he wasn't bullied hard enough. And nothing from, notice how you haven't heard anything really all that much from the administration either. We played some stuff yesterday wherein Karine Jean-Pierre was saying, "Oh, we need to have a ban on assault weapons and a red flag law." How would that have done any of this? He was apparently a known entity because of behavioral issues, but he wouldn't have been able to buy his handgun legally anyway because he's underage. And he was without any kind of supervision. He's under the age of 18. And he was apparently a militant trans activist. None of the stuff that they're talking about would have worked in preventing any of this. But you're not hearing about it at all. It is gone. They are memory-holing this story. Memory-holing this story. Because that's how much they care about children's lives. They're not even interested in talking about how he was able to get access to the elementary school. I mean, you're going after a sixth grader. I mean, the dude was in high school. A sixth grader was shot and killed. They're not talking about how did this guy get his handgun. They're not mentioning any of that. No, it's done now. They're done talking about it. It's not going to serve its purpose, so they don't care. And that's what I meant those years ago when I said that media loves crying white mothers. Because they serve a purpose. They serve an overall political agenda. The left loves to slap back at people and say, how dare you use X, Y, or Z as pawns? But they love using people as pawns. I've watched it happen in a very, very theatrically orchestrated town hall. Now, speaking of town halls, they've had them in Iowa. They were having them in Iowa yesterday. There's another debate on the way. Oh, boy. And then more town halls. How many more town halls can networks have? Where's the RNC in this? You know, I asked DeSantis that yesterday. I'm like, can't the RNC just say, hey, if you're going to do this and participate in this primary, you have to participate in the debates. And he's like, oh, the RNC dropped out of this. This was a network offering. The RNC should just hold everything to any kind of assistance, monetary assistance, should they win the nomination. They should step up. And their RNC is cowardice. It's so cowardly. That's why everything is so slap fighty and petty and ridiculous, because it's weak leadership. But everyone's terrified to say that because everyone, the head of the RNC was handpicked by Trump, and no one wants to get uninvited from Mar-a-Lago. Oh, is it unpopular to say that? I mean, that's the truth of it. I know it because I talk to these people all the time.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is one of the nastiest stories that I've ever read. So a man is suing Dunkin' Donuts because he said that their toilet exploded. Oh. Gosh, it sounds like a USPS office. Says that their toilet exploded and that he was left filthy and injured. He's accusing them of negligence. And the lawsuit says, this is Winter Park, Florida, Flagler County, Florida man. He said he 2 years ago, a toilet exploded. Paul Kerouac was visiting the Dunkin' Donuts, and it was January 6, 22. And he says while he was there, a toilet in the men's bathroom totally exploded and covered the bathroom and him in human feces and urine, according to the suit. He came out, asked employees at the store for help cleaning himself. And the employees told him they were aware of the problem with the toilet due to prior incidents. So he said he required mental health care and counseling as a direct result of the trauma experienced in the restroom. And it says that he got severe and long-term injury. He wants damages over $50,000 and says that Dunkin' did not maintain the toilet or warn him ahead of time. I mean, I think if you're going to be so stupid as to have an exploding toilet, you're going to be messing around with suits like this. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's pretty simple. I mean, good heavens. How do you not? I mean, I don't even understand how it would explode either.
That was just my next question. It's like, that's a bigger problem than just the toilet, it sounds like.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. It just, this story from Florida, Florida woman had two horses stolen from her and they were slaughtered for their meat. According to Miami-Dade's, who eats horse meat? I know some people do, but I mean, who? Why do you need to eat? Why do you need to eat horse meat? They said that the bodies of the horses were found in the home near the home, and they were appeared to be butchered for their meat. The investigation is ongoing. If I found out, if I had horses and someone kidnapped my horses or my pets, imagine John Wick on every steroid known to man. Though that is not an exaggeration. Oh no, it would be. Oh man. Because John Wick started as a movie about a dog. Let's be honest. This is a dog movie, right? Oh, can you imagine? First, how do you steal somebody's horses anyway, though? They're horses. They're, like, pretty big. How do you get... Oh. So they said that the owner of the horses told the NBC affiliate that she thinks that they may have been watching her to even know how to get the horses out and all this other stuff. And she said that, you know, she had been under some kind of surveillance or something. That's just crazy. Now, speaking of pets, a Lakeland nurse was charged with poisoning her neighbor's pets. Oh, boy. 51-year-old Tamisha Knighton, a licensed practical nurse at United Healthcare at WellMed, is charged with 3 counts of animal cruelty, 1 count of depositing poison in public after detectives said she poisoned 2 cats and a pregnant chihuahua. She also killed 8 puppies. Oh, my gosh. So they said that they investigated that. Well, it was a pregnant chihuahua and her puppies. And so they said that it was disgusting, horrifying, a heinous crime, etc. And then they finally found her. She apparently had threatened to poison the pets for coming into her yard before. And they said that it was just awful. The sheriff said that it made him really angry. And so she's now being charged with that. I also think, again, in cases like that, you should allow the pet owners to be able to slap her around a little bit. Just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Again, I would not allow. I'm very protective of my animals. I wouldn't let them. They wouldn't be in anybody else's yard in the first place. But say if there was an accident or something happened, somebody did poison. Oh my gosh. There's just no amount. There's no limitation to the physical pain that I would inflict on somebody. There just isn't. Oh my gosh. Who does that to an animal? Who does that? What is wrong with you? Oh, all right. So moving on. Golly, could we have something that, okay, here we go. You want a good one? This hardcore Florida woman saved her Rottweiler from an alligator attack. Nice. I did not have Rottweiler versus alligator like right on my bingo card for the first week coming back. But here we go. Gwen Cash was taking her Rottweiler Maximus out for a walk near her Pembroke Pines home. And an alligator swiftly approached her dog. She said it was within 5 minutes. She said the gator just came for him and was trying to go for her dog's throat. She said, I put my arm around my dog's chest. She got scratched. She goes, but I'm glad he didn't close his mouth. She saved her dog from the gator's clutches. But and this is an older woman, too. This older woman apparently out-Rottweilered her Rottweiler in fighting this gator. So she's having the alligator removed. She's talking to Florida Fish and Wildlife, and they're having a trapper come down to do it. Because she's like, look, if it came for that big dog, it's not going to hesitate to go after for a kid, which is she's right, or anybody else. So good on her. Stick with us. Third hour on the way. Texas Governor Greg Abbott will join us, too.
Would it be surprise you to hear that CBP sources say that currently they are releasing more than 70% of the migrants crossing every day, and sometimes more than that number, higher than 70%? Would that surprise you?
It would not surprise me at all. I know the data, and I will tell you that when individuals are released, they are released into immigration enforcement proceedings. They are on alternatives to detention, and we have returned or removed a record number of individuals.
You know what gets me is what Mayorkas says here. Alejandro Mayorkas, in this interview with Brett Baer, is entirely different from what Karine Jean-Pierre has said when it concerns the border. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. We're going to talk to Texas Governor Greg Abbott about this here shortly. But if you listen to all of the stuff that she says, she acts like, no, it's not. There's not an issue at the border. She's the one who downplays it all, at least Mayorkas. And I think Mayorkas is part of the problem, too. She's like, no, it's just it's not a big issue. Play this soundbite, because we have tons of audio here. When Brett Baer was talking to Alejandro Mayorkas, and he was talking about, yes, it's true. They are releasing 70%. Yes, there is a lot of people coming through. And then you have KJP. Now, keep in mind, Alejandro Mayorkas and Karine Jean-Pierre work for the same administration, okay? Literally the same administration. They both answer to Joe Biden. I don't know how you can have two people who work in the same administration on such different opposite ends of the same issue. Listen to KJP. This was yesterday. Listen.
In an interview with CBS News, House Speaker Johnson said on his first day in office, President Biden came in and issued executive orders that began this chaos. Did any of the administration's policies contribute to the record number of border crossings?
What I can say is this. On his first day in this administration, the president put forth a comprehensive immigration legislation to deal with a broken system. That's what the president did, to deal with a broken system. We're just a couple of weeks away of 3 years ago, that legislation that he put forward to Congress to actually deal with an issue, right? And so that's what I can say. The president understands that there's a problem at the border. He put forth on his first day something to deal with that problem. And what we continue to see from Speaker Johnson and Republicans, House Republicans, I know Jackie asked a question about something that I said yesterday in May, and I'll repeat it. I repeat what I said yesterday in May. House Republicans decided to vote on
a bill. What does it have to do with the fact that so many are coming? She's like, oh, no, it ebbs and flows. No, it doesn't. It's actually way worse. 290,000 just in the month of December by itself. 290,000. She's asked, well, you know, it's not unusual to see it. Yeah, it actually is. That's why you have a record 290,000 people who are crossing illegally just in the month of December. That's pretty unusual, I would say. That's severely unusual. That's why it's called a record. Asinine. Just asinine. They both are so on the opposite ends of this story. It is amazing to me. So who's correct? Which is the right message here? You see why the press is kind of, you know, scratching its head a little bit. Audio somebody too. Mayorkas was then asked, okay, so how does Kamala Harris, the VP, how is she keeping the border safe? This was a train wreck. Listen. What?
Last thing, shortly after taking office, President Biden tapped Vice President Harris to address the root causes of migration. How specifically has the vice president helped in your efforts to keep the border safe?
The vice president has raised more than $3 billion of investments in some of the countries of origin, specifically those in Central America. That is a long-term solution that we remain dedicated to. But in the meantime, we are enforcing vigorously our country's immigration laws.
Do you know that people over the holiday season were you had people who were illegal immigrants who were flown all over the country? They had a bag of belongings. Bill Malugin was reporting on this. They had their bag of belongings, had interpreters, probably non-government operators, these third-party contractors. And I was looking at this, some of the reporting on this. They were saying that, this is from the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation. The investigation into this, they were talking about DHS and Customs and Borders. People are just being flown all over the country. Everyone else is vetted by the TSA. But apparently the TSA, there's an exemption on who they for vetting, and that's if you enter the country illegally, apparently. Like alternative forms of identification, et cetera, et cetera. They're just taking people at their word for their identities. That's unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. They had released, Border Patrol had released statistics showing they detained more people on the FBI terror watch list in 2023 than in the last 6 years combined. And they were putting all these people on planes over Christmas, flying them all around the country. Just taking their word for it, for their identities. But Malugin said that he had footage. Tucson Airport, terminals full of people who entered the country illegally. They were released with DHS paperwork. Some of them didn't even have IDs. Didn't even have anything that would actually constitute an acceptable form of alternative identification to even be allowed on a plane by you. But they were allowed on. Holy cow. The system was not perfect before, for sure. It is sure as hell broken now. They had a whole separate line at the terminal, Malugin reported, that was just for non-U.S. citizens who entered illegally. And because they didn't have like the right, and they were allowed to go through. So the left went from no fly lists to no vetting for people who are in the country illegally. I'll say that again. We went because 9/11 first began by someone who overstayed their visa. And it was never, that was the first crime, and it was never acted upon. It was never enforced. We went from putting people on no-fly lists. We went from, you can't, the left cheerleading that to now they're, you don't even have to have an acceptable form of identification to get on a plane if you've entered illegally and fly all over the country. You can't take anything more than 3.4 ounces of liquid on a plane. But someone who crosses into the country illegally, breaks the law by crossing into the country illegally, doesn't even have to have acceptable alternative identification to hop on a flight and fly elsewhere in the country. But screw you. This administration wants the country to be destabilized by lawlessness at the border. It's all on purpose. It's all on purpose. We're going to talk to Governor Greg Abbott about that here shortly. I wanted to play this audio soundbite one. There's some petty politicking happening right now between two ladies in the Republican primary, between one former governor, Nikki Haley, and Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem yesterday was trying to take credit. She was saying that her state never shut down during the lockdowns, when in fact, she actually tried to shut her state down and was circumvented by her own state legislature. And she's counting on you not knowing that. When she was in the House of Representatives, Noem had a very moderate record. She is a very progressive Republican. She is not a conservative champion. You can sit here and pose with shotguns all day long. That does not mean that you are a conservative champion. She has a very moderate voting record. If you hated Kevin McCarthy's record, you'll really hate Kristi Noem's record. But anyway, so she was asked about this. She wants to be Trump's VP. So, of course, she's saying this. Audio soundbite one.
How would you assess Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley's campaigns thus far, Governor?
You know, I think they're fine. You know, I served in Congress with Ron DeSantis. I know him. He got elected governor when I got elected governor. So, you know, he's certainly been a colleague. We made very different decisions, though. When times got tough and our constitutional rights and freedoms got challenged, he closed his businesses. He closed his beaches. He just made very different decisions than I did and took away people's freedoms. So, you know, I haven't supported him. I haven't supported Nikki Haley. I just
worked hard to try to shut her state down. And her own legislature had to act to stop her. I mean, there's tons of stuff on this. I mean, the Federalist has a great archive on all of this, too, by the way. It was the state legislature that had to act to make it to where she couldn't do it. And she's now trying to rewrite history by claiming that she was on the side of not closing? Seriously? Like, what in the world? I mean, to not even touch the fact that she failed to protect females in sports. But she vetoed that bill. She wouldn't protect women's sports. She went along with the left wanting to shut things down. And as I said, Republicans in her state acted against it. I mean, Now, I've had her on the show before. I don't dislike her as a person, but what I do dislike are when people lie to my face. That's why you can't trust any politician. It's when people lie to my face about it. I mean, I could sit here and go, she was silent when eminent domain by out-of-state corporations was seizing people's land. I mean, get into some of the BlackRock stuff. She's had a makeover. She's really trying to present herself as being VP material, but she does not have a conservative record. She does not have a conservative record. Whether it's from women's sports, whether it's for her own state fighting her against shutting down during the pandemic, the lockdowns, all of that, she does not have a conservative record, just like she did not have a conservative record in the House. Why do people try to rewrite history on this stuff? That frustrates me. But the reason she's been taking some shots, I don't know if I was looking up her other comment on this. She has been taking a couple pot shots at Nikki Haley because she thinks Nikki Haley's in line to be Trump's VP if he wins the nomination. So they're kind of fighting over it. That's what this is about. Just saying. That's what this is about. I'm happy to put all of this in the next prep email, by the way, that goes out for the people who want more information on her lockdown stuff in her state, because it's out there. It's all over the internet. She tried to write that and has been trying to kind of obscure history on that a little bit. But the internet never forgets.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So first up, two restaurant employees were allegedly pepper sprayed over an automatic tip charge. This is in South Bend, Indiana. An investigation is underway. A group of 10 people were accused of trying to outsmart an Indiana restaurant's tipping policy. And then two employees ended up getting pepper sprayed. Really? 18% gratuity that was automatically added to parties six or more. And they said the group in 10 came in acting like they weren't together, sat in different sections. That's not how that works. So they added an 18% gratuity, and then it got out of, there was like video, got out of control because the world sucks. Oh my gosh. So don't talk about calendars. Vintage calendars from the year 1996 are worth the money in 2024. Did you know that? I mean, how much money? They're talking about like vintage, like Star Wars stuff. 1996 apparently is the year that both, it has to do with like a leap year thing. So they're, some are going online, like for sale for like $200. And they said it's because they can be used in 2024 because they match up. They're both years are leap years, and they each started on a Monday.
I wonder if I have one of those.
Why would you have kept a calendar from 1996?
I don't know. Like, I remember I used to write in the, you know, those little scheduler booky things, mm-hmm. that you used to buy, like
planners.
Yeah, is that what they call? Yeah. I haven't had one for a while. But yeah, I'm thinking I had one in the 90s. Might be able to use it.
Seriously?
Might be worth some
you
money.
You would keep that? You would have,
I might
kept
have it
for
it
that
still.
Long?
Look, there was some personal information in there. Why wouldn't, gosh, I want to keep that?
That's funny.
It's not odd.
A father says that his daughter's car is melting in the driveway, and Honda says it's not covered by the warranty. They said, so this family in Georgia say that one of their cars is literally melting away, and they're trying to get it situated. Parts of the car from the driver's side mirror to the front bump, from the front bumper to the passenger side mirror, they said started to warp. The paint began to bubble up. They said that it's just literally disintegrating. It's been sitting in their driveway, and they took it to a local Honda dealer because it's a Honda, and they said, oh, it's just caused by the sun. What? It shouldn't melt by sitting just like outside. And they're like, oh, it's not covered by the warranty. Sorry. So they've, the families, I, what? What, in what case is that? Is it like a faulty paint? But it's warping too. So it's more than just paint. I've never heard of anything like that happening. I don't know. Let's see. A burglar was busted because he was trying to use Uber as a getaway driver. This is so stupid. Why would you do this? That's why they're burglars, you know. They picked crime. They're not the smartest people. It's in Colorado. Police say they caught a burglar trying to get away in an Uber last week. Wheat Ridge Police Department. Wheat. Officers responded to reports of a burglary at Blue Sky Plumbing. There was a hole in the fence. It got security footage of a guy stealing tools. And then the Uber driver said he was called to pick up a dude named Jose who was walking towards the car. Officers stopped them all, and he got in trouble. That you can't order Uber as your getaway driver. It makes it really easy to bust you for the crime. I can't even believe that has to be explained. Maybe it shouldn't be. I don't know. And apparently the latest Epstein documentation has dropped. Now this is stuff that's been out, but it hasn't been unredacted, meaning you didn't know who was involved because you didn't know what was said. So I don't know if saying dropped is the accurate, unredacted now, officially unmasked is the latest. Governor Greg Abbott joins us next. Stick with us.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
New York City has and will continue to do our part to manage this humanitarian crisis. But we cannot bear the cost of reckless political ploys from the state of Texas alone. Today, our administration filed a lawsuit against 17 companies that have taken part in Texas Governor Greg Abbott's scheme to transport tens of thousands of migrants to New York City in an attempt to overwhelm our social services system. These companies have violated state law by not paying the cost of caring for these migrants. And that's why We are suing to recoup approximately $700 million already spent to care for migrants bused here in the last 2 years by the state of Texas. Governor Abbott's continuing use of migrants as political pawns is not only chaotic and inhumane, but makes clear he puts politics over people.
That's pretty rich. Today's coming from a guy who claims sanctuary state mayor status, sanctuary city mayor status. If you want to talk about using people as pawns, I think that demanding that everyone else cover the cost of your virtue signaling as a sanctuary city mayor, that seems to be using people as pawns. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lesh here with you, bottom of this third hour. Maybe they can just take what they're wanting to recoup off of the $13.4 billion a year, apparently, that Texas taxpayers have to pay to cover the Biden administration's cost of illegal immigration. Joining us now is the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, who has been just duking it out with the administration over this. Governor, I just wanted to get your response to this because you've been fighting the DOJ, you've been fighting the Biden administration. They're fighting over the razor wire, any kind of inflatable barrier in the water. And now you have Eric Adams coming out and saying that this is, you're using people as pawns and they're suing these bus companies. I do think they want a remain in Texas policy. I think that's what this is designed to affect.
Well, let me address this from several levels. First, the amount of migrants that Texas has sent to New York is a tiny fraction of what Joe Biden has sent there and a tiny fraction of what NGOs, non-government organizations have sent there. If he's going to start suing people for busing and flying migrants into New York, he needs to start with suing Joe Biden, suing these NGOs like Catholic Charities and others, because they've sent far more people there than has the state of Texas. Second, I want to address the legal issue because this is just a crazy lawsuit that has no legality whatsoever. Once a migrant gets on a bus or a plane from Texas going up there, the Biden administration has already authorized them to be in the United States of America. Because they're authorized to be in the United States of America, the U.S. Constitution, the Commerce Clause, and a Supreme Court ruling providing for the right to travel exists, and Mayor Adams is in violation of their legal rights here in the United States.
Ooh,
so this is going to be a lawsuit he's going to lose very rapidly, and my hope is that Mayor Adams will have to pay the attorney's fees, the costs of court, and be penalized for filing a frivolous lawsuit.
Yeah, and you make a very good point talking with Texas Governor Greg Abbott, because correct me if I'm wrong on this, what I was looking at, not just from Border Patrol, but also Bill Malugin and a couple of other reports, when these illegal entrants are getting on the buses, they can request where to go, correct? And a lot of them have been requesting New York City because of what they heard about sanctuary cities.
We bus migrants to cities that the migrants identify where they want to go. So we're not doing it against their will. And Mayor Adams knows this himself because he sent his team down to Texas months ago to find out what was going on. And there was a room full of migrants and they were asked, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to New York? Everyone raised their hand. His staff about died when they saw that happen. They know these migrants are choosing to go to New York, and Mayor Adams is violating the Constitution and laws by denying their ability to go to New York.
Now, for people who might be unfamiliar,
if I can add this, this shows the crazy hypocrisy. They are a self-identified sanctuary city where they want to have these migrants there. We're doing is giving them what they're asking for. But you know what? It's easy for these Democrats and liberals to come out and have all these talking points, but then when they actually have to live up to it, by God, it's something different altogether. Yeah. Democrats have said they are the party of migrants, of immigrants. But when put to the test, when they actually have to deal with the migrants and immigrants, they said, no, make Texas deal with that. It shows their rank hypocrisy of these liberal leaders across the country.
Well, Eric Adams is using Texans as pawns. Governor, he's using these Texas border towns and hardworking people who come in legally and create a life for themselves, add to the tax base in Texas. He's using all of these people as pawns. I was making note that for people who didn't know, the governor was also attorney general. So he knows a little bit about the law, which is why I obviously agree with. I think that this lawsuit's ridiculous because this is the bus companies didn't create Joe Biden's policy. They didn't create the conditions in which they were hired and just provided a service.
You're right. But also you're right about something else you made reference to. And that is, we have all these small little towns on the border. You have Eagle Pass, Del Rio, et cetera. They're the ones that are inundated with all these migrants every single day. And all we are trying to do is to relieve the congestion of the illegal immigrants who are in these small border towns caused by Joe Biden's policies and moving them elsewhere where they have every right to go under federal law. And listen, if Mayor Adams or any of these other mayors want to do anything about this, they need to go to the source of the problem. The source of the problem is Joe Biden. Remember this, Dana. 4 years ago, we had the lowest illegal border crossings in 40 years. It's because President Trump had in place four policies: remain in Mexico, Title 42, end catch and release, and building a border wall. When Joe Biden came into office, he eliminated all of those policies, and that's exactly why we have the problem we have today. Mayor Adams would not have any migrants in his city if he insisted that Joe Biden enforce the immigration laws of the United States of America.
And that's what so many people who are have questions about. How can the federal government interfere in a state, especially border states, right to protect the sovereignty, not just of its border, but also its citizens? I understand the federal government's responsible for the border, but they're also creating lawless conditions in these areas. Crime is up. I was reading another figure, something like, well, in December alone, 290,000 of these encounters by Border Patrol for the month of December, which is weird that Corinne Jean-Pierre says it's not unusual. It ebbs and flows. I think setting a record like that, Governor, that defines unusual.
Well, it also defines innovation. Listen, speaking of New York, the New York population, New York City population is about 8 million people. Under Joe Biden, there's been more than the population of New York City come across our border illegally. That is an invasion. And Texas has every right to step up and put the buoys in the water to build more than 100 miles of razor wire barrier that denies illegal entry, to build the very same border wall that President Trump has built. So Texas, over the course of the next 2 years, we will complete more border wall than Trump was able to complete in the state of Texas. So that goes back to the taxpayer money you were talking about. Texas taxpayers have paid well over $10 billion for our border security efforts. And I got to tell you this, Dana, also, is having results. Texas represents about 60% of all the border mileage with Mexico. But yet we only represent now less than 40% of the illegal immigrants coming across the border, because the cartels have realized it's a whole lot easier getting them into New Mexico, into Arizona, into California than it is in the state of Texas.
Yeah, they're making a lot of money. What was it? Something like $32 million a week from smuggling people across the border illegally. And that's just in a 245-mile stretch of the border. Maybe Eric Adams could appeal to the cartels to get to recoup some of the money there. Talking to Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Speaking of the razor wire, too, you mentioned this. The Department of Justice obviously demanding that the Supreme Court allow Border Patrol to cut the razor wire that's been used as this force multiplier and deterrence for people crossing in the areas where you really, it's shallow enough, you can just kind of walk across. Talk to me about this, because you've said, I'm reading your remark from Twitter, see you in court.
Well, this is really amazing. Dana, think about this. In the history of America, have you ever seen a president try to prevent a state from securing its own safety? We laid down this razor wire, hundreds of miles of it, that was an effective deterrent and repelled migrants from entering the state of Texas. And because it was so effective, Biden ordered the Border Patrol to either cut it or to lift it. There was one instance where they put a forklift under it and lifted it up and allowed hundreds of migrants into the country illegally. It's insanity that the Biden administration is doing this. And so we got a court ruling from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals saying that the Biden administration could not interfere with our razor wire operation. And Biden appealed to the Supreme Court. So Texas is against the Biden administration in the U.S. Supreme Court as we speak right now, where Biden is begging the court to allow the Biden administration to tear down the razor wire wall that we have built.
What happens, Governor, if, because I know you've sent National Guard down, and I know that there's a role legally that the National Guard is allowed to play. And this is the other thing for people who, it gets very in the weeds to explain the different hierarchies, because federal government's supposed to control this, but yet the state can control this. And I just think if the federal government doesn't do its job, then that just, we should just be able to do whatever we need to protect the southern border. That's my view on it. But for the people who don't live in border states, explain the hierarchy and the process. Like what can be done, like right up to the line where maybe they would come and say, Governor, you're breaking the law. We got to arrest you for trying to enforce the law at the border. Like what is the maximum amount of pressure that you as governor can implement to protect the border?
Well, we are using every tool that can be used, from building a border wall to building these border barriers to passing this law that I signed that led to another lawsuit by the Biden administration, where I signed a law making it illegal for somebody to enter Texas from another country. And they're subject to arrest and subject to deportation. And so we are deploying every tool and strategy that we possibly can. The only thing that we're not doing is we're not shooting people who come across the border, because of course the Biden administration would charge us with murder.
And you can't even keep them detained, from what I understand. Like the administration won't even allow you to keep them in detainment for X amount of days.
So we have used a tool for this. It's called trespass. Anyone caught in trespass is actually subject to being jailed. And we have arrested and jailed people for trespass because they were trespassing illegally in the state of Texas.
It is amazing the loopholes and the Olympic kind of flips that you have to do just to get around all these edicts from the administration. That's what really blows my mind. I tell people all the time, I'm like, remember, I mean, they basically stopped short of threatening arrest with Jan Brewer in Arizona when she was trying to fight back against Obama Biden. Now it's Biden Harris. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, we'd love to have you back because this is going to be an ongoing issue. But this deluge that we're seeing at the border, it's absolutely unsustainable. We're seeing, as you said, cities, entire cities in 1 month come across. And it's not sustainable, not in Texas or anywhere. We appreciate you, Governor. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Dana.
Of course. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this third hour of our broadcast. And of course, we will wrap with Today in Stupidity. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
So I got to give you an owl update. I told you this yesterday. I don't know how else to describe it. It's an accidental attic owl. Apparently we have like an opening in our attic, and I feel like I should be more freaked out about this than I am. It was large enough for a little screech owl to get into. And my husband was up in the attic yesterday and boom, there's an owl in the attic. Now, I think this is the owl that has lived in our patio. And I wouldn't let Chris get rid of it. And he's like, the owl droppings were crazy. But I think it's the same owl that's lived here for a while. Like when we first bought our house, there was an owl that we saw on the rafters in the patio. And I'm like, oh, it's an owl. It's meant to be. I've always wanted one. And now it's in the attic, though. So does this mean we're wizards? Isn't that how that works? Like, you get an owl.
I think them's the rules.
I think them's the rules. I think that's right. But anyway, so this, he's still there. And we have to have like someone come and get him, kindly get him and move him. Although I want to build an owl house for him. But I don't know anything about construction or power tools or anything like that. So I feel like that could be a very interesting venture for me. Juan shows that that's a picture of this owl.
Now, isn't it
attic.
Officially named Owl Bundy now?
Yeah, so thank you for reminding me that. So we had a poll yesterday on social media. I left it up for a couple hours, and I'm like, I threw some name suggestions out. What did we have? Edgar Owl Lynn Poe.
Like that one. Yeah. I like that one.
Owl Bundy.
My favorite.
Jareth, because Jareth, okay, no, some people were like, what is this garbage? David Bowie's character in Labyrinth turned into an owl.
It's true.
And his character name in Labyrinth was Jareth. That's why. Sense. That's where it comes from. I felt like that required too much explaining.
It's a long road to get there, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, Owl Bundy ran away with the vote. Yeah. So that's its name, Owl Bundy. Yeah. And he seems pretty chill so far. And so my other option was, can we build like a little owl door? I don't even know what that would look like. I'm just trying to come up because I really want to keep it. And my husband was like, you realize that possums and all that use doors too. Yeah. It's not just like they're not going to go, oh, this is just for the owl. But wouldn't the owl eat the possum? If you had a screech owl versus a possum, who wins in that fight?
I don't know. Possums can get pretty big. You think an owl can just eat a possum?
I don't know.
Maybe a baby one.
All I know about owls is that they're wise. I mean, I had a friend that used to go through their feces for bones. Yeah, I don't know. It was a weird thing.
It's a thing.
It is a thing. Yeah, but I could sell that. I'm just thinking of capitalist opportunities here. Anyway, I don't know what it's. So it's there. And apparently, one of the other things, they said that they're attracted to manufactured boxes. So we have this giant box in our attic, and it's a posable dummy. You guys have seen it before. I don't know why. I bought this on a whim at a Spirit Halloween, and I would randomly pose it around the house to scare the living daylights out of my friends and family. I don't know. Like if we would have family to stay over, I would literally put it in the bed that the family was going to sleep in and cover it up, and they'd walk in. I used to stick it in, the bathroom at night just to scare people. I mean, it was like a thing. I don't know. That's how we're weird. So anyway, I don't know. It loves this. It loves the box. It likes to sit on the box. And apparently I looked it up. Screech owls like manufactured boxes. Huh. I didn't know that.
I never knew that.
Yeah. So I really want to try to build an, I don't know what's going on. Maybe it'll still be here Monday. I don't know. That's my wish. But Chris says it can't stay in the attic or I got to clean it up. I don't really like that option. So, because I'm a girl. Anyway, today's stupidity came.
Well, we don't have time to play the audio, but this is the.
I talked about Owl Bundy.
That's right. The View earlier this morning, they're claiming you shouldn't listen to anyone but them on the details as it relates to the COVID vaccine.
I'm going to interrupt you because I just had a brilliant idea.
What?
That's today's stupidity, but what if it was like in a part of the show? Owl Bundy.
Oh, yeah.
Like back here.
I want that.
I didn't mean to totally hijack. I'm sorry, Kane. I'll make up for it next week. You can pet him. Have a great weekend. Back with you Monday.